1. Shame buries us. If we conceal our wounds out of fear and shame, our inner darkness can neither be illuminated nor become a light for others. Brennan Manning. The morning news reminds us again of the miracle that Dave is alive and free from the addiction that had a hold on him for 15 years. Today, another great musician died of an overdose. Last week, an actor. And in between the Hollywood headlines are the local ones, closer to home, more personal, and tragically, more and more often. Over 11 million Americans have abused prescription painkillers in the past year. And according to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, 1.7 million of us struggle with addiction to them. As of this writing, prescription drug overdose is now the leading cause of death for Americans under the age of 50. The opioid crisis has invaded our communities and our homes, and the quest for solutions has become a billion-dollar industry. Addiction and overdose are tragic side effects of the collision between the war on drugs and the war on pain. It's a mess of our own making, and we have tried and failed to fix it at the highest levels of government. Generation X grew up with Nancy Reagan's Just Say No campaign to keep us from turning to drugs when we were teens. And then in the 1990s, as we were becoming adults, Jack Kevorkian gave the moral compass of the country a spin with his assisted suicides for people who were suffering unquenchable pain. The American public, appalled by euthanasia, pushed lawmakers to stop it. Under pressure and caught in a dilemma, Congress held special sessions to hear testimonies from pain sufferers and their family members, as well as arguments for pain relief from physicians. The result was a decision that would change modern medicine. We can't let people live in pain. Stop the suffering, and it will end assisted suicide. The way out of this complex ethical crisis was to promote pain relief and prosecute assisted suicide. Kevorkian was sentenced to prison in Oregon in 1999. In 2000, Congress declared the first decade of the new millennium the decade of pain control and research. And so, our attempts to conquer pain and do away with suffering unwittingly opened a Pandora's box. As a country, we started saying yes to drugs. By the time Gen X had babies, extended hospital stays for every procedure were becoming a thing of the past. We had outpatient surgeries and surgery centers, and we were prescribed bottles of the sorts of painkillers previously administered only under the care of watchful hospital staff. Suddenly, everyone in America was granted the permission and the potent means to manage our own pain at home. Not just after major surgery or for terminal cancer, but for tooth extractions, backaches, and even headaches. Pain, the fifth vital sign. It was so easy to get pills in the new millennium. While standard narcotics prescriptions were still carefully regulated and monitored, many of the new opioids and synthetic opioids were not. On top of that, the American Pain Society pushed to make pain the fifth vital sign. Unlike the other vital signs checked by medical personnel, blood pressure, heart rate, temperature, and respiratory rate, which have specific and quantifiable standards of measure, pain is subjective. Brian F. Mandel, MD, PhD, wrote about the staggering effect of the fifth vital sign movement in a 2016 issue of the Cleveland Clinic Journal of Medicine. Dr. Mandel said that because patients themselves had become the measure,